All right. Yes. All right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm sure you guys constantly think about your favorite aquatic bird or whatever. So anyways, good to be here this morning. Thanks, band, for an awesome time of worship. We're going to continue our series on the armor of God. And if you've been with us here, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, and it's exhorting us to put on the full armor of God so we'll be able to stand firm against the enemy and all his lies to us. And so we're going to continue on actually with the first one, the belt of truth, or it says, gird your loins with truth in order to stand firm. So let's go ahead and pray, and we're just going to dive right into it. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, for your ever-abiding presence with us. So we'll be talking about this morning, God, all those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you put in them your Holy Spirit that will guide each of us, Lord, into your truth, opening up, revealing your word to us. I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for that counselor, Lord, that helper, the one that illuminates your word that is with me every moment of every day. Lord, I pray I'd be more aware of that. I pray we in this audience this morning would be more aware of it, and we would stop and ask, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me. Show me what I need to know and understand. We pray even this morning that help us. It help us, Lord, be excited about doing that, and it help us, God, in having confidence of coming before you in this way. So we commit this time to you. We ask that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. You'd be here with us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 14. Got three different versions because it's only a few words. And if it's not up there, I know we've been having some trouble, so just ignore it and boom, and we'll just move right on. It says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. New American Standard Bible. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist in the NIV. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. The New Living Translation. What it's basically saying is be strong in truth. Be strong in the truth. Have it all about you. Have it, you know, in your mind, in your heart. Be prepared. And as they say, battles are won or lost before the battle even takes place, right? So this is talking about preparation. This isn't talking about, oh, I'm getting hit from all sides and I feel like my faith is all, you know, kind of leave me now. Now I'm trying to rush and do that. Now if that happens, obviously do that, you know. Try to make up for lost ground. But this is preparation. That we're constantly just grabbing on the truth and pursuing truth. And building a stockpile, if you will, that we have in our minds going into our hearts that just permeates our being. And we're understanding who God is and what he has for us. But truth is being challenged, isn't it, today? It is really under siege. Have you seen these videos? And I was going to have one, but I didn't. But I'm sure you guys have seen them, right? YouTube stuff or whatever. And the guy will go out and he'll say, he'll say something like, what would I tell you? You know, and the guy's like, you know, 30 years old, white guy. What would you tell you if I identify as a monkey? You know, and the person will go, well, if that's truth to you, you know, if that's what you want to do, how about if I'm, you know, all these things? And people have a hard time answering that question, right? If it was me, I'd be like, nope, sorry, dude, you're about 30, look like a white male to me, you know, sandy blonde hair. I'm sorry, it's just who you are. You know, that's who God created you to be. But we're having a hard time as a society answering those things. And there seems to be no rhyme or reason other than who are you to tell me that what I believe is not true? We can't pass judgment on this. It all needs to remain big question mark. And truth is whatever you want it to be. And I can't step into your truth. That'd be judgmental. That'd be unloving. That'd be arrogant. Maybe that'd be hateful. right? So we're in kind of this pretty interesting time as a society. So even as Christians, if you're a Christian this morning, if you identify with Christ, and if you don't, welcome. We're glad you're here. And I hope maybe this is, you know, we're here because we want to introduce people to Jesus. We believe that you can have a relationship with him. And if you're not sure of that this morning, we hope that this will help you, move you towards that, to having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, then we say that there is a truth, right? We say that we can believe this. This is true. Like Jesus wasn't a fairy tale character that never lived, but somehow we got all this information and we're just going to follow it, you know. We say no, he was an historical figure. He truly lived. He truly died. He truly rose again. And he said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. We believe that. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we have confirmation of that God gives to us also, which we'll talk here in just a little bit. But as a Christian today, we are influenced by our culture. We would be sadly mistaken if we say that we are not influenced by the culture around us, because we listen, we watch, we take classes, we're getting bombarded with messages all the time. And I talk to Christians all the time, and they'll say things, and at times, if I know them well enough, I say, do you know that's really not what the Bible says? In fact, it's in direct opposite. Oh, I didn't know that. So then we'll go through it. But we'll just start taking on our culture around us. The Bible even says that. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And that conform there it's just happens. You don't have to put any effort into that. We conform to those around us. Look at us this morning. I mean, we all kind of look different, but we all kind of conform. I'm old enough that I have conformed to about 25 different styles of clothing and hair, you know, and I usually don't change until my friends go, dude, you can't do that anymore. And I'm like, why not? Well, because it's changed. Doesn't look good or it's not right and whatever. And I'm like, well, that means I need to go out and spend a bunch of money. I don't want to do that. But okay, I'll conform. We conform. That's what we do. To be transformed into being like Christ, who is not of this world, right? And the world never really accepted him. And we are now one with him. It takes work to be transformed. It just doesn't happen. We just don't, over time, it's like, oh, I identify as Christian now. I'll just go about my life and never put any effort into that. And somehow I'll just become more like Christ. Doesn't happen. We need to put effort into that. And it's not trying to be good. It's what we're going to be talking about here this morning. So as a Christian, since truth is being challenged so much in our society, I think we need to ask ourselves, do I believe the gospel message? Do I believe it? Do I believe in divine revelation? And do I believe that I can understand it and know it? Do I believe in knowable, objective, divinely revealed truth? It's a good question to ask ourselves on a pretty regular basis. Because our culture increasingly does not. And I believe it's not going to end up in a very good place. Human desire is at odds with truth, isn't it? We humans want what we want, and we will redefine reality in order to get what we want. Human desire is at odds with truth. Our culture keeps moving away from God, declaring its own truth, declaring the freedom to do whatever it wants, free from any moral standard. And that's the attraction of naturalistic evolution, isn't it? Let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of any accountability, and now we can decide for ourselves what's right or wrong. And we can do it with a clear conscience, and we don't have to worry. This is leading down a bad road. I believe it will not end well. And here's what I believe is the truth of it all. Without God's truth, all our knowledge is a kind of false knowledge. Without God's truth, whatever we have faith in is a kind of false faith. Whatever we have hope in is kind of a false hope. And whatever we love, it's a kind of false love. Without God's truth, we're living a kind of false life. We're detached from reality and devoid of ultimate meaning and purpose. And I think that's extremely tragic. Look in Proverbs 3. Hopefully it'll be up there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. God is saying to us, here's a warning with a promise. Do not lean on your own understanding. Did you create the world? Did you create yourself? I am the creator. Listen to me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Come before me in my truth, to my truth, and let me make your path straight. Let me help you live the life that I created you to live and experience and to enjoy. So our own understanding will not lead us down a good path, but God's rooting for us to find and to follow his path. He wants what's best for us. Look at John 8. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, which is the things that he spoke, which is what we have now in the Bible, scripture today. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Being free is God's word alive in our hearts, isn't it? It's his words alive in our hearts. Being free is no longer being a slave to sin. It's being released from that. Being free isn't doing whatever we want to do. I think this is, in a lot of ways, hopefully not revolutionary to a lot of you in this room this morning. This is revolutionary in our world, in our culture today, isn't it? Being free isn't like having enough money to do whatever I want to do and to not have any obligations whatsoever other than what I want to do at any given moment of any given day. We view that's freedom. That's not freedom at all. Freedom is having the ability and the power to do what God wants us to do. Freedom, being free, is following Jesus. So we can know truth. We can know it. God has revealed it to us very specifically in his word, in scripture. Many of you have a Bible here this morning. I don't have one up here. I got my notes. But he's given us his word. He has used humans. It says in 2 Timothy 3, it says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for what? Teaching us all about life. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. In 2 Peter 1, it says that the prophets spoke, and as they spoke, they were moved along by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the words, the very words of God. So this is, if you're not quite with me yet, and I've kind of left you back here, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm still wondering about truth. Well, it all comes down to this. Is there a God or not? And if there is, does he want to communicate to us? Does he want us to know him? And if that is true, then how has he done it? So then you start looking at all the different religions that talk about that kind of thing, and I guess you study them out, and you see which one do I agree with the most? And I guess then you choose one. But Christianity says that God became a man, he died on the cross, and he rose again for our sakes, for our sin, so that we might truly know God. And so it's centered in the person of Jesus Christ. And if he wants to communicate that message to us, how is he going to do it? And how he has told us he has done it is through his Spirit, through his coming into people's lives and guiding them along, writing down his very thoughts and his very words to us. And making sure then that after that was done, that through the ages, through the last 1,000 years, you go in the Old Testament, even more than that, that has been faithfully carried along through the generations to where we're at today. And when we sit with our Bibles today, and obviously I'm not going to go through all the reasons why we can have that assurance. We can have the assurance that what we're reading is what God wants us to understand and know about him and about us and about this world and the spiritual world and about this life and the next life. All the essentials that are of the Christian faith are so clear in there and have so much testimony behind it that we can feel assured that these are the very thoughts and words that God wants us to know and understand about himself and everything that pertains to life. Look at John 14. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is not a way, he is the way. In fact, he's the destination, to be maybe more correct about it. I mean, once we're following him, you're there. You know, that's where you need to be. The destination goes on forever because we serve an infinite God. We'll always be learning more and more. But he's the way. He's not someone who, and then he says he's the truth. He's not someone who just states the truth. He is the truth. And then he said he's the life. It's not someone who merely imparts life to us, but he is life itself. He holds all things together. He is life itself. And when he was on the earth, he said many things. He was imparting God's truth to his followers. Many of them have written that down, moved along by the Holy Spirit that we have today in the Gospels, right? And John's writings and Peter's writings. And later on, he appeared to Paul. And through Paul's writings, we come and we understand what God wants us to know. The things that he revealed to us as they really are. But he said this right before he was leaving. He was intimate time with his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Look what he said in John 16. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. There is so much more that I would love to tell you that, man, I want you to understand and I want you to know, but you couldn't bear it. It'd be way too much. It'd be like, you know, cramming five chapters the night before a test. You can't do it. You can't absorb it all, right? Just way too much, even though we try to do that at times, right? So he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And that's what happened in the first few chapters of Acts, is the Holy Spirit was given to the church. And the Holy Spirit indwells everyone that comes to Christ. Why? To continue to reveal things as they really are, to continue to reveal reality, to continue to bring us into the whole truth of God and who he is and what he has done and what he is all about. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. You spend some time with this, this will blow you away. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, no human could possibly conceive these things, concerning the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. We couldn't come up with this stuff. But God wants us to freely know it. And these are the things that are going to be freely revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what that, you know, if you're a believer this morning, it should excite us, right? When you open the Bible, you're not alone. I know it feels like that, right? Sometimes if you want to go to sleep, I can't sleep, maybe I'll just read the Bible. That'll put me out, you know, because boom, we're gone. But you're not alone when you're reading that. And sometimes we need to enter into the Spirit. And we need to say, stop and pray. And say, man, Lord, I just read like, a chapter here. My eyes are getting heavy. I'm bored, out of my mind. What is going on here? I have your Spirit that is in me. These are life-giving words. This is the truth you want me to know and understand. This is what's going to bring life to me. Would you speak to me now, God? Holy Spirit, would you open up? In Ephesians 1, what does it say? Paul is praying for them, and he says, I pray that your eyes of your heart would be illuminated with God's truth. His word would come alive, that the Holy Spirit would do that for you. That he would give you a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of God. And you stop and you pray that. And then you say, God, I want to hear whatever you want to tell me through your word. Thank you, God, you've given me the Holy Spirit. I haven't felt that for a while. I'm not even sure that's really true, but I know the Lord Jesus. And as I read your word, would you bring it alive for me? And if you do that and you keep at that and you keep at that and you keep at that, it will start coming alive to you. It's beyond me sometimes. Now, I've been there. I've opened it up and I've been bored and it's been like, I got to go on to other more fun things. But I've also had times where like, this is amazing. This is better than anything else in life right now, being spoken to by God. His word becoming alive in my heart. Words, I'm getting past the words on the page, and that's what God wants to do for us. Get past just a printed word on a page where God is speaking that truth into our hearts. It goes so deep into us, and the truth of it, the reality of it, the encouragement of the joy of it, it just starts bursting out of us. It's like Jeremiah says that the word of God is like a fire in my heart that I just can't contain. I just can't hold it in. Are those your times when you open Scripture and you begin reading it? When that's not my time, when I'm opening Scripture and it's not doing that, I immediately say, boom. What? Okay, God, what? Why not? What do I need to do? Usually it's repentance. Usually God is saying, I need to grab your attention. And if this is one way I can do it, I will do it this way. This is why God sometimes creates hardship in our life. He loves you. Sometimes we're walking astray. We're going way off his path, way off his path. And it's not leading to a good place. But we haven't really connected a whole lot with God in this. Maybe we're not even opening it. Well, that's why sometimes some difficulties come into our lives. It kind of gets our attention, right? C.S. Lewis said, pain is God's megaphone to the world to show us that something's not right. So would you take notice? Would you think about it? Would you maybe approach me and say, God, what's happening? What's going on? So I hope you're at a place right now, or you will get there, that God can open your eyes just because of that lack of fellowship, that lack of connection, that lack of reading the word and saying, whoa, God, oh, I just got to stop for a minute. Lord, that just blows my mind. That is so exciting. I can't believe that truth. Thank you. Yes. And he's filling you with that in that moment. And there's no greater joy in the world. I can tell you that now. My times with God, when he has spoken, times in the word, it's been better than all the things, all these fun things I like to do in life, being with friends, skiing, doing sports, whatever. Watching the Buckeyes win last night. Sorry if you're a Penn State fan, but I'm like, God, help me here because my heart was beating too fast. I'm like, I'm too caught up in this. This is just not good. But I'm with my son, so I'm yelling at the TV, all this stuff. It all came out good though. See, but. If you're a Penn State fan, I am sorry, but okay, that was fun. It was exciting, but our times with God, hopefully that's not even compared to that. Think of the funnest, most exciting, joyous time you've ever had in your life. Your times with God can be better than that. There's been times I've been out with God where I'll go for a weekend with God, and I do not want to go back. Been out in the woods with God for a few days. I don't want to go home. I'm like, this has just been too good. I'm going to go home, be around humans, and all they're going to do is discourage me. But God, you have encouraged, and this has been such a time of refreshment, and you have spoken to me and given me your joy and your presence, and now I got to go back to these people. There's been other times I can't wait to get out of the woods. There's been no connection, but we fight through it because we know the truth of it, that God has given us his Spirit that wants to reveal to us the deep things of God, that wants to go further with truth. We may have heard things up here, and maybe it hasn't gone any further than that. It hasn't gone this 18 inches or so and really taken root in our hearts, where it's become a part of us, where his living word is living in our hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's his job. That's what he wants to do. So we can know truth so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Holy Spirit is increasingly revealing God to us.
if we pursue that. This is Romans 12, 2. Remember I said conformity takes nothing? Transformity takes coming before God in His Word, saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. God, open your Word to me. Jesus, come, have fellowship with me. That's where we're transformed. You're not transformed by trying to be a good behavioral Christian. That's not where it takes place. Being a good Christian isn't reading your Bible. That's being a smart soldier. That's not putting yourself in a place where you're going to be a casualty someday. That's putting you in a place where you can hear from God. Then you can go out and do God's work. See, we've run out and we try to do God's work. We try to be good. We try to do all these things. And then we just don't see any change or whatever. Eventually, we just give up and then just kind of do the act versus going to the real substance of what we need, which is God Himself through His Word, through prayer, through all alone, away from people. And then we walk back into our Bible study, our church and community. We bring Jesus with us, and other people brought Jesus with us, and it just like sparks together, boom, and there's like a wildfire of the Holy Spirit amongst us, and that's what it's meant to be. But what we do sometimes is we don't do anything on our own, and we try to come together as a community, and all we have is anger and jealousy and all the other worldly human emotions just kind of going rampant in there. Just talked to someone the other night. Their youth group churches, I think, some ways, probably shouldn't say this, but maybe one of the more poisonous places you'd ever want to be in your life as a young Christian. I don't know how many times I've heard it, like, hey, how's your 14-year-old doing? And usually it's not school. It's these Christians that are, you know, should be something else than they are, but they're just like the world. And then the hypocrisy of it, and it just blows up. I'd say we should separate all the youth. Don't let them be together. Put them out alone somewhere in the desert for like 5 weeks and say, you know what? You could find God out here. And they will or they won't. But at least when they come back together, maybe they'll appreciate, you know, their fellow 14-year-old or something. I don't know. We're older than that, right? We don't come together without any sense of God's truth living in us. Right? We go and we seek that and we come together and then that truth and that community, it builds us all up. It's the way it should be. It hasn't been that way for many of us. Maybe. For others, it has. Or we're kind of it's kind of like in the middle somewhere. But it will happen as we're pursuing this. And we can do it on our own. On your own. Just you and God. And He will reveal truth to you. And then you can walk in that truth. And then what you do is you bring that back to community. Because the danger of all on your own is, oh, God's showing me things. Oh, you know, and then we start judging others or whatever. We always bring it back to community, and it's always subject to the community. And we bring that back in, like, oh, here's what God has shown me. It's so encouraging. And then, you know, and especially if you think that God is showing you something that other people aren't quite seeing, probably not the case. And we bring ourselves, we're subject to, I think God's showing me this, so encouraging. And then maybe an older, someone that's been in Scripture and walking with God for a long time says, well, that's encouraging, yeah, I can see that, but, you know, and may show us how we've kind of veered a little bit off. And I'd say when it comes to truth, whenever you think you've kind of got something that no one else has gotten, or you're listening to someone that says, you know what, here's something God has shown me, and you know what, the vast majority of Christians have not seen this and don't know that, right away, you know that person is most likely off. Not a lot of new things have been said when it comes to the study of God since around 300 AD in the person of Augustine. And if you don't know who he is, probably one of the greatest theologians that's ever lived. There's been many other great ones, but many of the other great theologians would just say, Augustine, not a whole lot new has been said since 300 AD. So the last 1,800 years or so. So what we're doing is we're trying to not just know truth, but have it live inside of us, try to understand it, and try to walk in that. So we go and we gain truth. God speaks to us. We bring it into community, and not just this one, but we bring it in to the whole Dayton area community. We bring it into the world community of believers, right? And then we see that, isn't this amazing, that God has shown us all the same truth. I mean, I know there's differences, but usually it's kind of like just a little nitpick, like, you know, like that. But it's kind of like this universal truth that God has shown us, those really foundational things that involve the Christian faith. You know what? He has shown millions and millions and millions of people the same thing. And we all come together and we affirm that. And it's like, yes. And we march as an army doing God's work in the world. I think it's an awesome thing. So when you go out, you got God's word. You got your Bible. Boom. God's very words to us. God's Holy Spirit. God living inside of us in order to bring that alive. Isn't that exciting? Hope so, right? You go out. Maybe you go out with a new thought process when you open the Bible. And you say, if nothing else, God, I got to get past the printed word. It's got to go beyond that, Lord. Help me. Because if I'm boring you right now, you most likely have not ever gotten to that point. God wants to get you to that point where his word starts becoming alive. I read the Bible for 6 months before I became a Christian. And it was such a battle going on when I look back now. But finally, God just brought alive just a few verses. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son doesn't have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And I dwelled on that probably for a few months or so. And finally, one night, just the truth of that, God, the Spirit just used that. I just knew that was true. And I prayed and said, Jesus, I need you. I know without you, I'm not going to heaven. I need you to come in and wash away all my sins. And I want to follow you. I want to follow you the rest of my life. And I'm not even sure I prayed that, but I knew that was true. And that was part of my struggle because I thought, I knew my life was going to change. I thought it'd be boring. I was absolutely convinced it was going to be boring after I asked Christ into my life. That couldn't have been further from the truth. Because I never knew how exciting it might be just to sit in my dorm room and read the Bible. And probably just a few weeks after that, that's what I was doing. And I was so amazed at how content I was and the joy I was feeling just as I was reading through, and I can remember, the book of Ephesians. And I was just so excited to sit there all alone in this little Brandywine ski center. I lived in the dorms with a bunch of other people, just sitting in my little dorm room all by myself, more content than I had ever been in my life, just reading God's word to me. After a while, about three or four people were coming down the hall, la, 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 and they came, hey, Phillips, we're going to the bars, let's go, you know. And so they stick their heads in. I'm like, you know, I think I'm just going to stay here tonight. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to hang around here. You know, I'm good. I'm like, well, what are you doing? I'm just reading the Bible, And, you know, they got real quiet. They're like, okay, whatever. And they left, and I heard a girl say as they were going down the hallway, that is weird. And I thought to myself, it is weird. Because it had only been a few weeks. I couldn't have imagined this 2 weeks ago. No way would I sit in my room by myself reading the Bible or any other book and feeling content and joy. But communion with God, nothing compares to that. If you give any acknowledgement to the existence of God and that you're going to die someday and go back to him, if you're bored with him now, then you should be thinking, well, maybe I'll be bored forever in heaven, right? No. Heaven's going to be an amazing place. We're not going to be floating around on a cloud, like, you know, whatever, singing Amazing Grace for like eternity. Read your Bibles. It's going to be an amazing, amazing seeing all of God's creation. We've just seen such a little teeny bit of God's creation. Wait till we see, and probably not even the full extent of it even then, or maybe for all eternity, we're learning more and more about God and his creation. So we need to get past a printed word on a page. I know those are same words on a page like your schoolwork and things you have to do, and it all seems so like, these words are different. They can come alive and change your life and give you really everything you've ever wanted that we're striving for all the time. What else do we want in life but satisfaction and contentment and joy, right? If we have that, it's like, boom, I'm good. So that's why we hope to marry the right one, make enough money, you know, vacations and all these things. Well, you can have it. You don't need any of that stuff. You need someplace you can just get alone with God's scripture that he has made sure has come to us in a correct form so that we are understanding what he wants us to know about himself. I'm going to finish with this. In John 17, this is Jesus' prayer, again, for us, too, not just his disciples then, because even when he was praying, it won't be in this section, but he said, Lord, I'm not only praying for these people here, but for all those who believe in me through their word, and that's me and you this morning. He prayed this for you. Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. That's what God wants for you. He wants the full measure of his joy in you. He wants you to experience that. So in order to do this, I've given them your word. And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Ephesians 6, that's what we're going through, right? Full armor of God. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. This is how we're set apart. It's how we know God. God's word will speak to us, set us apart. I'm sending them into the world now. I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. You know how we're going to change the world? We're going to do these two things that John points out. We're going to go before God's word and allow God to speak to us in such a way it changes us. It transforms us. And then we're going to go out and we're going to live it. We're going to walk as set holy people on the earth. Not like holy, you never do anything wrong, but set apart for God holy. That now you are out carrying on Jesus' work in the world. That's how we put truth all around us. We cram it in our minds and we allow God to put it into our hearts and then we go and we live it out. That's the girding our loins with the truth. That's putting on the belt of truth. So we stand firm. We don't conform to the world, we transform. We're revolutionaries in the world. Isn't that awesome? But we first go and experience God and the joy and the fellowship, and then we take that into the world. And then even then, you don't have to worry about what you say. Your life will do it. People will ask you, hey, what's the deal, you know? I've known you, you know, but things go south. You're a little different. Whoa, what is it about you, you know? They'll see God in you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for just wanting us to know you. Lord, you are beyond our understanding and knowing. Lord, you are hidden from us. On our own, there's no way we would find you unless you would reach down and reveal yourself to us. Thank you, you have done that. You have done that so fully, and you say perfectly in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, that you want a relationship with us, that you would send your Son, allow him, Lord, to be crucified, Lord, to go through the sufferings that he did, to die. But then that, thankfully, was not the end of it. He rose again to bring us life. Lord, thank you so much for that. God, thank you that you want to speak to us on a regular basis through your word. I pray, God, if it's boring, please, if you're here this morning, get some help. Ask someone. In community, come together, not just to discuss the word and what does it mean, but come together to help one another to truly connect with God. That should be what we're asking each other. How have you connected with God? What has he spoken to you on deep in your heart this week? Not, well, how did you understand this sentence on words on a piece of paper? God, help us to go deeper with you. You want to go so deep with us, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.